Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I wanted to go over a story that Josh just pointed out to me about how Joe Biden is proposing the most insane tax I have ever heard of in my life. And it really begs the question, is he trying to destroy the economy? I mean, maybe that's the objective here, that they're trying to destroy the economy so they can build it back up with their great reset, or they can build it back in a way that they deem appropriate. Build back better. Better for whom? It's worse for you and I, but better for the central planners and the authoritarians, I can assure you. So let's get into this story, and then let's kind of try to think it through to really go over that question. Is this really a way, this combined with everything else that he and the global elite are doing, a way to purposely destroy the economy? Let's check out this story from, looks like Bloomberg. Biden proposes 20% tax aimed at billionaires. And this, right off the bat, the title is completely disingenuous because it's not just aimed at billionaires. And it's an unrealized capital gains tax. So it's not just a 20% tax. It's an unrealized capital gains tax. And the key points, according to this article, tax could generate $360 billion in revenue over 10 years. Over 10 years. So we're talking about, let's just, and you know this is wildly optimistic, but let's just assume that it is true. If this tax generates $360 billion in new revenue over 10 years, that would be $36 billion per year. Okay, right now they're running about a $3 trillion deficit that's most likely only going to increase. So $36 billion, I mean, this is nothing. And by the way, if all of these people are proponents of MMT, which they are, then why are we even raising taxes? Why would we do this when we're facing an economic recession? Even the MMTers would admit that you'd want to lower taxes because you don't need that revenue. I mean, if the government is a currency issuer and not a currency user, then why on earth do we need the taxes in the first place? You see, the MMTers would push back and say, oh, well, we got to get those taxes out of the system because that's what's going to reduce inflation. And then my pushback there would be, okay, well, you're trying to get currency out of the system that is going after goods and services, meaning that there's a high velocity. And I can promise you, by taxing quote-unquote billionaires, this is not high-velocity money. And so any direction they go, they run into an intellectual dead end. Well, let's get into the article further. And good, good, good. All my highlights are gone. I love it when that happens. All right, well, I'll just go ahead and wing it here. Biden proposed a minimum 20% tax that would hit both income and unrealized capital gains. So that's important, guys. So not just 20% on the income side, but an unrealized capital gain of households worth more than $100 million. And the plan, according to the White House, is called the Billionaire Minimum Income Tax. Well, right there, they're just blatantly lying. It's called a billionaire minimum tax, yet it affects a lot of millionaires. Okay, I guess that's politician logic right there. Moving down further in the article, if enacted, the tax would generate an estimated $360 billion in new revenue over the next decade, representing one-third of the White House projected $1 trillion cut to deficit spending over that period. My goodness, talking about just pissing into the wind. My goodness gracious. I mean, any of you watching this live stream that are working at the White House, you're running $2-3 trillion deficits. And if we get a recession, which the yield curve is screaming right now, you know darn well those deficits are going to go up to most likely where they were during 2020. So $5 trillion deficits here. And you're talking about reducing the deficit by $100 billion per year. So let's just think this through in terms of percentages, right? Let's say that we're running a $3 trillion deficit. you're talking about attacks that in its wildest, most optimistic numbers would decrease that burden by 1%, 1%. In the numbers I mean, 3 trillion, 30 billion, that's 1%. So what it boils down to is there is no reason to do this other than to just put a big target on rich people's back. Because here's the mistake that so many people make. When they push back, they say, oh, George, well, I mean, this only affects a few people and it doesn't really matter. And the billionaires should pay their fair share anyway, because that money's just sitting in a bank account in the Cayman Islands and it's not doing any good. Therefore, we need to make sure that those billionaires that have all this excess money, that they're getting that out into the economy. And the best way to do that is for the government to tax it and then get it into the hands of the people, the average Joe and Jane, that will spend this money with velocity. Okay, that's the usual pushback that you get here. But what they're not understanding is, number one, that money goes to invest in other priorities, should, in with normal interest rates, go to invest in other projects, which would not go to consumption, but would go to investment and the production of goods and services. That's first. But second, as it says later on down in the article here, you're dealing with a target on the back of 700 people. They did the math and they found that this tax would be applicable to 700 people. You think those people don't have a way to get around this? I mean, honestly. And so then you look at this tax as though it's set up today. And the big mistake I was talking about, where people, or one of the biggest mistakes when people think about this or their rebuttal, is they look at the tax as it's set up today and extrapolate that indefinitely into the future. It's the exact same thing they did with the Cervasa sickness. They say, oh, well, George, these lockdowns aren't that bad. You know, just sure, we're losing some freedom and liberty, but if it just stays like this, well, then who cares? You know, if we just have to wear these masks for the rest of our life, well, is that really a big deal? What they don't understand is it's the masks today. And as we move into the future, it's more and more and more of your freedoms and liberties. And the example I always use is the Supreme Court decision in 1905 with Jacobson versus Massachusetts. And this was regarding the mandate, the medicine mandate. You guys know what I'm talking about. And then using that as a precedence, we lost more and more and more of our freedoms, to the point when eugenics became extremely popular in the 1920s in the United States. We had the Supreme Court decision 1927, Buck versus Bell, where they used that first decision as the foundation to basically legalize forced sterilizations. So my point here is that this is the way these government things always start off, whether it's with the medicine mandates or a tax. It starts off as one thing, but then it evolves over the next 5, 10, 20 years into something that starts with focusing on billionaires. And then the next thing you know, you wake up 15 years down the road and it's applicable to you, the guy or gal making 100 grand a year. That's how these things work. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. And so that leads me to one of the questions I was talking about at the beginning of this live stream, is we can say definitively that this tax does nothing to reduce the deficit It does nothing to help the economy. It does nothing to help poor people or the middle class. The only thing it does is hurt a group. So why are they doing it? Why? Why? Is this just to score political points? And this is what I used to think. But now I'm kind of changing my thinking. And I'm coming to the conclusion that maybe, just maybe, they're doing this because they know that once they get the camel's nose under the tent, this is just the first step, they get people acclimated to the idea of a unrealized capital gains tax until it just becomes standard. We've had that for 10 years. That's no big deal. And then what they do is they lower it, and they lower it, and they lower it, and they lower it. As far as the threshold of income you would need to have in order to be eligible to pay this tax. Keep in mind, they're doing this at this in the future. While at the same time, they're implementing a central bank digital currency and they're banning cash. So that means that the only people that have any chance of getting around this are going to be those 700 billionaires that they talk about this in this article. The guy and gal that's making 100 grand a year that will most likely fall into this tax net in 10, 20 years, they're not going to be able to get around this. They're going to have no cash. Their bank account's going to be held at the Federal Reserve, the central bank, so they're going to see every single transaction, and they're going to take those taxes right out of your account, whether you like it or not. You're going to have to prepay. It's just like here in Colombia. They've got a tax that you have to prepay, and it's for interest on bank accounts. And what happens is every single time you spend money out of the account, they tax it. And then at the end of the year, you have to claim your taxes and then get back whatever they took out as you're spending the money. And I almost guarantee you that's what would happen with a central bank digital currency. So then we have to take it a step further and say, okay, well, this doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a way for them just to implement something and condition people to get used to it to where they can lower the bar as far as what income qualifies or what net worth qualifies, just so they can raise new taxes. But I don't think the story ends there. Because if you think about this, and I did a video on this yesterday or the day prior, where the global elite, it gets very complex when you get into the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and all these things that they talk about. There's no specifics. They're wildly general. And you can't really pin them down as to what their objectives are. When you go all the way back to 1971, when Klaus set this up, and you go back to the Club of Rome, and you go back to one of their icons, which would be Thomas Malthus, I believe is the way you actually pronounce his name. And you realize that what their objectives are really boils down to two very simple things. They want to reduce global consumption, and they want to, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here, they want to reduce population growth. Now, a lot of people say they want to reduce the population. But again, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and just assume that they want to reduce population growth. And so anything that they talk about with climate change or, you know, they pretend as though this is their major talking point and their major objective. Nonsense. The only thing that falls into the category of reducing consumption. And if you reduce economic growth, if you reduce economic activity, what do? Well, you kill two birds with one stone, no pun intended. And that if you reduce economic activity, you reduce consumption. And if you reduce economic activity, more than likely, you increase the death rate and you decrease the birth rate. So once you understand that these are really their only two objectives, and everything else is just kind of a smoke and mirrors game and diversionary tactics and just PR and marketing and spin, just to try to get to these two goals that they have. When you see the world through that lens and the influence they have on the politicians, it starts to make a lot of sense. Now, I don't have any proof that Biden's doing this, but listen, if I was trying to reduce economic output in the United States, this is exactly what I would do. I would know that I can't come out today and do an unrealized capital gains tax for everyone. That's never going to fly. But what I can do is I can start it with the billionaires and bring it down to 100, even though it's a billionaire tax, bring it down to 100 million. And then I know with my political influence over the next 10 years, if all goes well, I can have them bring, once the population gets conditioned to this, I can bring it down further and further and further. And every time I bring it down, I know that it's going to reduce economic activity even further. And if it reduces economic activities, what are my two goals? It achieves both of them, reducing consumption and reducing population growth. So I think that we really need to look at things, all of these economic proposals from the politicians, especially the ones that I think are really under the influence of the global elite. That would be the Trudeaus of the world, the Bidens of the world, the Merkels, Macron, I believe is the guy's name in France. These are the people that are really under the ether, in my opinion. You've got to look at what they do, and if it really doesn't make sense at all, you've got to say, okay, well, maybe it makes sense through the lens of their two main objectives. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.